Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, November 15th. Well over 100 people gathered at Memorial Hall last night in Hotchkiss to meet with officials in the ongoing process of gathering public input about the comprehensive master plan for Delta County. This was the second meeting of the week. Officials met with citizens in Cedar Edge on Monday night. The purpose of the meetings is to continue to gather input from the public about a variety of topics that will be covered by the comprehensive plan. After the first round of public meetings, six issues were identified that the public is most interested in working on in the master plan. Those issues are energy development, public infrastructure, services and assets, water resources, agriculture, land and business, economic development, and land use and development. The meetings this week were held to specifically discuss those issues. In Hotchkiss last night, six work groups were established to fully discuss each issue and to allow public discourse. Elise Ackerman-Castleberry, Community and Economic Development Director for Delta County, talked about the issues and the purpose of last night's meeting.
Really dive into this topic and talk about what you think the outcomes should be for this topic. Where do you see the county in 5 years or 10 years down the road if we are successful with implementing these goals? Can you draw a line between the goal and what you think an outcome should be? And then we also want you to think about what we need to be doing today to help affect that outcome. And we also want to know what's missing. So if you have read through these and you think something's missing, we want to know about that as well.
Delta County undertook the master plan project over a year ago and hired consultants from the Rural Planning Institute in Durango to help. Those consultants were on hand last night, along with Ackerman-Castleberry and Delta County Administrator Robbie LaValle. Officials were delighted with the huge outpouring of interest from the citizens at Memorial Hall. The process in writing a master plan is extensive and benefits greatly from public input.
I'm really pleased we've got so many people here tonight. It reflects the interest in what we're doing, and I think that's great. This plan's going to be the best it can be if we have good participation.
And tell me a little bit more about the process. It's been ongoing now for about a year now, and how much longer does it have left?
We are really in the middle now, and so we've got quite a bit more work to do to get to the end, but the plan is still to try to get that done this winter, so our hope and goal is to be back out with a draft plan, the complete plan, in mid to late winter. We'll do some more public meetings. I don't know what those are going to look like yet, but there will be more opportunity for input along the way, and as always, the whole way through, anyone is welcome to submit written comments along the way and input.
A third meeting to gather more public input on the master plan will be held Thursday night at 5:30 p.m. at Lincoln Elementary School in Delta. In an update about the sexual harassment scandal going on at the state capitol, members of the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange provided the following information. State Representative Steve Lebsock is vowing to fight allegations of sexual harassment, telling reporters yesterday that he has not had the opportunity to confront his accusers.
Right now, I'm being violated. My rights are being violated. And I didn't even have an opportunity to tell my side of the story before the governor, lieutenant governor, and others asked for my resignation.
Capitol coverage broke the story of the allegations against Lebsock last week. Since then, fellow Democratic Representative Faith Winter filed a formal complaint against him. Lebsock has not definitively said if he will step down.
I have publicly stated that I'll be having a press conference on November 30th, where I'll be talking about my future both as a state representative and my candidacy for Colorado State Treasurer.
Republican Representative Lois Landgraf of Fountain is now questioning just what Speaker of the House Chrisanta Duran knew about the allegations. In a letter, she says Duran put workers at the Capitol in, quote, great risk, and is calling for the state attorney general to investigate how the Winter matter was handled. Children in Colorado are part of a nationwide trend among 5 to 16-year-olds who have seen their use of mobile devices triple over the past 6 years. This behavior has negative impacts on their sleeping schedules. Eric Lattice filed this story.
If your kids are falling asleep watching TV or with a cell phone tucked under the covers, they're probably going to bed later and getting much less sleep than kids without access to electronic devices. Monique LeBourgeois is the lead author on a new study that says children are uniquely vulnerable to sleep disruption from electronic screens. She says because the eyes of young children are not fully developed, the light has a bigger effect on their internal body clock.
And many parents believe that media, like watching a video or playing a game, actually calms their children before bedtime. But in fact, it may be the exact opposite, and we may be creating the perfect storm to disruption of both the circadian clock and sleep.
Studies have found that screen time is associated with delayed bedtimes, fewer hours of sleep, and poorer sleep quality. A recent report from the nonprofit organization Common Sense Media showed mobile media device use has tripled among young children aged 5 to 16 in the past 6 years. LeBourgeois says light is our brain's primary timekeeper, and when it comes to children and adolescents, self-illuminated devices such as smartphones, tablets, and televisions bathe kids' eyes in blue light that can keep sleep at bay.
So this immature eye allows more light to actually hit the retina that signal the internal biological clock.
LeBourgeois encourages parents to turn off their kids' devices with screens before bed and charge them somewhere outside bedrooms. She also says parents should set an example by keeping TVs, computers, tablets, and cell phones out of their own bedrooms. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Throughout Colorado, deer are in the midst of their mating season, and Colorado Parks and Wildlife is reminding residents to take precautions to avoid conflicts. During the rut, bucks are territorial and loaded with testosterone. They may attack people. Deer can also see dogs as threats. Bucks in the rut may also spar with and become tangled in swing sets, volleyball nets, bicycles, and other home and yard accessories. So now is the time to take a look at your yard, bring in the summer toys, and check if there are other things that can snare deer. People displaying holiday decorations and lights are also asked to exercise caution. The rut for deer usually continues until late December. Drivers are also reminded to slow down and be on the lookout for deer on the highways. Deer have migrated to winter range and are likely to be close to major roadways at this time of year. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.